Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
What's your Bibles tonight? I want you to open up to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at tonight. We'll talk on the subject matter tonight, in light of what we've been talking about, breakthrough in life, walking worthy of your calling. Walking worthy of your calling. Did you know there's a predestined path already written for you in the books of heaven? You also know that we have to agree to walk out this path on earth. Friends, when we begin to understand our higher calling, we must receive the grace to walk worthy of that calling. Now, in our conduct, in our application, and in consecration to it. Walking worthy of your calling. You got your Bibles there tonight, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, as we know. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. I, Paul, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, he's writing it to the church, friends, to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Each one of us, as followers of Christ, were called with a high calling from God. This is no earthly calling. This is no open invitation. This is for His people. And every one of us, friends, has been given the grace to walk out this calling. Again, if you've got your Bibles, come with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And I'm sharing from the New King James Version tonight, so as not to confuse you with long passages. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. As you know how he exhorted and comforted and charged, how many? Every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. What an honor. What a privilege. The next scripture, Colossians chapter 1. Book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Again, Paul writing to the church. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, I quite often refer to this life in Christ as a journey. A journey starts at the beginning and it has an ending. But there's a journey, there's a route, there's a route, if you like, a pathway to follow on that journey of life. And when we come to Christ, God puts us sometimes on a totally different path to what we're expecting. But here's the challenge in His Word, and I believe that the deeper we go in the Word, the more things we discover about what His calling is on each of us. But in these scriptures here, Paul refers to a walk which is worthy of the Lord. Amen? So the first thing we need to understand is that a calling is an invitation. A calling is an invitation. In the book of Matthew chapter 20 and verse 16, Jesus says this, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Many are what? Called. Matthew 20 verse 16. Many are called. Everyone is actually called. Everyone has a destiny. But because not everyone says yes to that call, therefore not all can be chosen. That's been a tough scripture for you over the years. That's my best explanation of it. Many are called, many are invited into the kingdom of God, but not everyone accepts that invitation. Therefore, those who don't accept the invitation are not then chosen. Amen? The Strong's Concordance explains that the Greek word translated from calling is the word kletos, K-L-E-T-O-S. Meaning an invitation or an appointed calling. Right? So my doctor doesn't ring Jason and say, "Jason, I've made an appointment for you to come and see me." Chris's motor mechanic doesn't ring me and say, "Look, I've got a vacancy for your car to be serviced, Lou. Bring it in tomorrow." It's a specific calling that the Lord puts out to everyone, an anointed invitation, and not everyone accepts it. So you and I have a predestined path that God ordained for you before you were even thought of. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, the Bible says. But we must agree to walk out this path while we're here on earth. Amen? When we begin to understand our higher calling, we must receive the grace to walk worthy of that calling in our conduct, in our application, and in consecration to it. Okay, so if you can come back to Ephesians chapter 4 with me, I'm going to read the whole chapter, all for 32 verses, because it's all relevant to what we're heading towards tonight. Reading from the New King James Version, I'm reading the whole 32 verses of Ephesians chapter 4. Follow it through with me. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Worthy of the calling with which you were called. "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism." Amen? Verse 6, "One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." You need to get a grasp of that if you don't understand that. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Verse 10, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith. Till we all come. You see, there's a journey, there's a path involved in our life in Christ. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. May grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth to the body for edifying of itself in love. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. If you haven't underlined that passage in your Bible, underline it tonight. And it goes on, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I'm not going to tease out every verse, so don't panic. I want you to come down to verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Friends, I want to say tonight that you and I don't have to come up with the ability to walk worthy of his call. The call is from God, and so is the grace to walk in it. Hallelujah. I would never in my natural self be able to lift myself to that level. But by the grace of God, I can do it. Amen. The same decision you made through faith and by faith to receive Jesus is the same decision through faith and by faith that we use to receive the grace to walk out our calling. Isn't that a relief? Same faith on that day when you accepted Jesus as Lord, that same faith you operate in your day-to-day walk with the Lord, is the same faith you need to receive of that grace to walk worthy of His calling on you. Amen. Amen. Friends, you and I didn't do anything to get ourselves saved. And you can't come up with the power to walk in it and walk it out either. It is of faith that it might be by grace. We put our faith in the Lord to walk worthy of our calling. Listen to what Paul says to the Romans in Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. He says this, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace." Think that one through. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." It is of the faith that it might be according to grace. Again, he writes to the Roman church in Romans 5, and verse 2, it says, "Through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." I want you to think about these words. These are not idle words. This is not picture story book words. These are life-changing revelation words if we can get them into our spirit. Amen? "Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and based on that we rejoice in hope in the glory of God." Now, according to our passage in Ephesians and other parts, if you can come back to Ephesians chapter 4, actually verses 29 through to 32, we have a part to play in imparting that grace to one another. You have a part. I have a part. We all have a part of doing what? What did I say? Imparting that grace to one another. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth." Ephesians 4 verse 29. "But what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." You know, it grieves the Spirit of God when we speak anything about each other other than that what we should edify and build up each other with. It actually stifles your call of God when you grieve the Holy Spirit and speak wrong things about one another. Amen? When we speak over one another in line with each one's calling, we come into agreement with Holy Spirit rather than grieve Him. Now tell me tonight, would you rather come into agreement with Holy Spirit or grieve Him? Hard question, isn't it? Paul again writes to the church in Rome in Romans 8 verses 26 through to 31. He says, "Likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Hallelujah. Whom He called, these He also justified, the word says. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? Amen? Friends, I want to say tonight, don't put your mouth into opposition to what God is saying about another person. And I'll be really strong on that tonight. Don't put your mouth in opposition to what God is saying about another person. Work with Holy Spirit in intercession and not against Him to grieve Him. Amen? Work with Holy Spirit, not against Him in grief. Because what you're actually doing, when you work against the will of God, you're actually coming as a witness for Satan himself. You're making accusation against God's children, which means you've sided yourself with Satan and his works. You can see why it grieves Holy Spirit, can't you? But now, given that our invitation comes with the grace to get there, we need to understand the path that we've been given the grace for. Ephesians 4 and verse 7. But to each one of us, grace, past tense, was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now to each one of us, Paul writes, here's a great encouragement. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, eyes on me for a moment. If you received an invitation from the Prime Minister, from the President of the United States, from the Queen of England, the reigning monarch of any country, and with the invitation were the instructions on when the limousine would arrive, what you would need to wear, on what day and at what time they would pick you up, you would need, friends, may I encourage you, to follow those instructions. Am I right? No good turning up in your daggy old garden clothes. No good waiting at the door at 5 to 3 when the limousine's been waiting there at 2 o'clock. No good coming the day after and knocking on the monarch's door and saying, "I'm here. But you were due yesterday." "Yeah, I was busy." You and I just couldn't show up whenever and however we wanted to. So I'm using this illustration tonight to explain to you that the invitation that we have from God as our calling comes with instructions with it too. So what are those instructions? I'll be quick. Firstly, I want to say this. We are called Christians. And we must answer to that name and live like Christians. Take nothing else home with you tonight. Take that home. You call yourself a Christian. Your friends and family may call you a Christian. Your enemies may call you a Christian. according to God's plan over our lives, we are meant to conduct ourselves, we're meant to live like Christians, and we have to answer to that name. We're called to God's glory and we're called to God's kingdom. That kingdom and that glory, therefore, must be on our mind. We must walk as we become heirs of that glory and of that kingdom. Think about that. We're invited out with the Prime Minister. We'll just stick with the Prime Minister now for lunch. Limo's coming at 3 o'clock. Late lunch. Busy man. You're told to wear a certain type of clothing, be presentable. Polish your shoes, comb your hair. Put on makeup if you're a girl. Leave it off if you're a guy. Your expectation is that you're not just going to go to Macca's for lunch. Your expectation is there's not going to be a little mini clubman turn up to pick you up. It's going to be a nice car of some description. It's going to be clean. It's going to be polished. There's probably going to be a chauffeur driving the car. Your expectation is lunch is going to be something extraordinary. It won't be cucumber sandwiches and a cup of tea. Why, therefore, as Christians, we enter into the kingdom of God and we expect God to dumb down his kingdom to suit our mental thinking? You and I are sons and daughters of the Most High. Sons and daughters of a king, not just an ordinary king, but the King of Kings. Begin then to understand why we need to walk worthy of our calling. So let's just look at that quickly. I know we're running out of time. The Greek word here for walk is the word peripatetio, and it means to tread all around, to walk at large, to live, and I love this part, to deport oneself. Follow as a companion and to be occupied or walk with and walk about those who are invited you. To deport yourself. Well, today, Prime Minister, how you doing? Would not be the way you would be expected to speak to the ruler of a nation. God says here in this passage, we are called to walk. Not behind him, not afar from him, but alongside him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has invited you to walk with him on that pathway that he's called you into. Amen? The word deport, as I said, talks. It's an old-fashioned word. It means posture, stance, but more importantly, to conduct your whole self in a certain way. I was at a meeting the other day, and it was quite a formal meeting, and I couldn't get over the guys that were just standing around. Hey, howdy. Doing all right? Looked like the Paul Hogan show. Hands out of your pockets. Look people in the eye. Shake their hand with a firm grip. Speak correctly. These are some of the things in the natural, but God's called us up to that higher level, and that's where he's got us going. So let's look at the word worthy. The word worthy, so we're going to walk worthy, is the Greek word axios, A-X-I-O-S, and it means to become after a godly sort appropriately. So you're not just going to stroll with the Prime Minister. You're not just going to, just stroll down with the Prime Minister and say, hey, howdy everybody, you for lunch? Yep. What are you having for lunch? Hey? What'd you say, Prime Minister? Hey? Walk worthy. The scripture is very plain. Walk worthy. Work, walk, axios. appropriately. Conduct yourself appropriately. So we read here in Ephesians 4 that God has provided grace to enable us to walk appropriately, to walk alongside of Him, to have that journey of life alongside of Him, walking appropriately, recognizing that He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, recognizing that His Son laid down His life for us, recognizing that when His Son went home to be with the Father, they sent Holy Spirit to empower us to be with us forever. Don't take that for granted. We read in the rest of Ephesians 4 that God provides us the grace to enable us to be kind and to build one another up. How hard is that some days? Let's be honest. To be connected. God's given us the grace to be connected as joints in a body. And where those parts, where those joints join, there is power. There is power. Do your joints just loosely hang? Are they separated? Are they joined? They're called joints for a reason. They're joined together. There's power there. Imagine my elbow separated from my top part of my arm to the bottom part of my arm. And it has to be a few mil. And I want to scratch my ear. You scratch your head, you're not your ear. Okay, hand lift up. I'm trying. Elbow doesn't want to play the game. Right hand, move now. Yep. I come up, scratch my ear. Can't. Elbow refused to play the game. So likewise, God paints this picture of us joined together, that our calling is as the body of Christ. That's His calling. Ephesians 1 and verse 18 says, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. As you grow with Christ, your understanding of the things of God grow deeper also. Walking worthy is not something you do based on how you think. What's happening in here? Nothing to do with your mind, it's nothing to do with your will, nothing to do with your emotions. It's a spiritual strength. It's from the Holy Spirit Himself. And He gives us sufficiency to walk out what we're called to do. I love in the Bible where the word let comes in. The Bible says here, let God's grace work for us. Allow, if you like. Let God. We often use that phrase many years ago, let go and let God. Let Holy Spirit come in and direct you. Let the power of God's word invade your natural realm and turn you into that supernatural being. Friends, we have to let God's grace work for us. We must agree to the path and we must agree to walk in it. He's given us the grace to do it. He's allowed the Holy Spirit to walk us through it, and He leads us wherever we go. So within your call, within my call, within our call as a church, is all the sufficiency that you need to walk worthy in that call. And we need to rejoice in that. Receiving, allowing God in, receiving all that you need to walk out what the Lord has destined and called you into ahead of you right now. Can we stand to our feet? Got a prayer here I'd like us to pray as a declaration over our lives tonight. Let's place our hand on our heart. Say with me, I believe I receive that this year is going to be the year of amazing outpourings from heaven for me. I believe that the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. That is my path. And I by the Spirit of grace, walk out that path right now. No devil can hold back the Lord's plan for my life. And I plead the blood of Jesus as the legal case for my righteousness. And being conformed to the image of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. I declare that this year will be grander and greater, and that an outpouring of such as never been seen before, and that an outpouring such as never been seen before will outwork through my life and through my ministry. I declare this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, while we're standing, I'm going to ask the communion stewards to distribute the emblems. You have a calling on your life. You have a destiny before you. You choose, A, if you're going to walk it. And if you're going to walk it, you choose to walk it worthy of His calling on your life. Amen? God has a plan. You can either fit inside His plan, or you can sit outside of His plan. I believe tonight, as you take hold of this passage in Ephesians, as you start to reason that you have a calling on your life and it is worthy of walking in, He will guide you and He will direct you. Notice that in this declaration we said that no devil can hold back the Lord's plan for my life. No devil. If you get that in your spirit tonight, friends, nothing can stop you. I will not be overtaken. I will not be overcome. Amen? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, where does it live? It abides in me. Amen? And we've pled the blood of Jesus as the legal case for your righteousness and being conformed to the image of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? A solid declaration. Don't need to walk away from God's calling. We need to walk into God's calling. I believe 2017 is going to be such a year. Are you worthy of the walk? No. But in Christ, who gives you the grace, you're worthy of that walk on your calling. Amen? Amen.